Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Bullocker Podcast. I'm Moose Lundstrom.
And I'm Adam Vokey.
What's up, Mr. Vokey?
Not a lot.
Where we at, big guy?
We are in Bullhucker Studios in the bowels of the Brush Emporium.
Bowels of the Emporium. We have to pronounce bowels very much because when Facebook auto captions this, it always says we're saying in the balls of the Emporium, and that's not at all what we're doing here, so at all. So we pronounce bowels of the Emporium. And we have an important guest today.
We do.
I'm excited.
I feel a little underdressed.
Why is that?
Because she's an important guest.
Dusty Johnson, how are you?
I am doing well, and I should have actually worn my spaghetti covered shirt to make you feel better.
You know what? We don't judge here at the Bullhugger. You know, we have stained shit everywhere. So, yeah,
like I said, this is probably one of the only shirts I have that don't have fried chicken or French fried stains on it.
Right. So, if you don't know Dusty, you soon will. She's running as a candidate for the House District 63 seat. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yep.
We're going to get into that more at the end of the podcast, but it's exciting to have you here to talk a little bit about that. So that's it's going to be fun. I'm really interested in what you got to say about that. I've seen you on other podcasts. And finally, we got her on the Bullhucker. Yep. We had to coerce her into our basement.
Yeah. When she's coming out here, the first thing I hear from her is, well, that's creepy.
To be fair, people look around for the podcast studio upstairs. It's not. It's downstairs. And when you walk down the stairs, we're in the corner, and there's a wall with plastic covering over, like we're going to murder somebody. That's what it looks like. So,
and then at the bottom of the stairs to the left is a doorway, but it's not an actual door. It's like a expanded metal gate.
Yes.
So that probably don't help a whole lot either.
So Dusty Johnson is not afraid. That's the, you know, you pass the first test, right?
Oh, I said it looked creepy as I was walking down. Yes, so I would be perfect for a scary movie.
Yes, you did. No, you're the girl who walks into everything. That's what it is like. Yeah. Do you remember that old commercial? What was it, a Visa commercial where the kids are running from the chain, the murderer?
Yeah. And why can't we just hide in the running car?
Yeah. And so they go into the shed with all the metal.
Yeah, all the knives and saws and all that shit. Yeah.
Kill
them. I love that. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Don't be stupid, he says. But before we start, welcome to the Bullhucker Podcast. What we do on here is we're bringing on a guest. Today's Dusty Johnson. What we're going to do is Dusty's going to tell us three stories about our life. Now, here's a kicker. Only two of these stories are true. One's either halfway made up, all the way made up, or it's a borrowed story. At the end of the podcast, my friend Adam here and I are going to try and guess which one of those is not true. We used to try and ask you what it was borrowed or whatever, but it has not helped our percentage at all, so we just don't ask it all anymore. We shoot from the hip and still probably miss. So, having said that.
Percentages have not changed at all.
Yeah. So, Dusty, what's going on with you now? What are you up to nowadays, besides running for...
Besides running for House District 63, I'm trying to catch up on sleep and drink more water because I live off of caffeine. So,
amen, sister. Yeah. Cheers to that. It's my addiction. If I quit everything else, this will be what I die caffeinated. I promise you, that's what's going to happen. So, you are getting into every county out here.
Yep.
How many counties are in our district?
We have seven. So Morgan, Logan, Phillip, Sedgwick, Washington, Yuma, and portions of Weld.
Really?
Yeah.
Excuse me. That's a heck of a that was gross. Yeah,
that's a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah, it's where we don't measure miles out here. And if you do, I've stopped. I'm doing an oil change about every 4 to 5 weeks. That's with bad weather. So I'm scared when it gets better weather, my car is going to, it's a workhorse. It's going to run down.
Right. I think that's cool. I sat and listened to you talk a little bit. And I think that's cool that you make it a point to be in every county. Often, right? Yeah. There's not a set schedule, obviously, but...
I'm aiming for about every 2 weeks,
okay,
give or take, just so that way now there's more activities happening in some counties than others during certain points, so it's not I check each mark every 2 weeks.
Right.
I just know if it's hit about a week and I haven't been to one of the counties that week, I try to get there the next week just to make sure all counties are represented.
That's very cool. Yeah. And I don't think that happens a lot.
Unfortunately, no.
It doesn't. And I think sometimes they stick to the bigger areas, you know, and... that's unfortunate for people out in the boonies because they are also, you know, your constituents. So,
well, see, in one of the stories I should have told, it's not one of my three. I have been stranded in the middle of nowhere, usually when it's raining, by a cornfield, waiting for that farmer, rancher, tow truck to come save me.
Oh, really?
In the boondocks of, you know, just waiting because everywhere matters. And my car, like I said, it's getting the runaround.
What kind of car do you drive?
Escape. So I've never bought a new car because I've already worn three down. This is going to be the fourth. Knock on wood, it lasts for a whole other year.
Yeah.
But I don't buy new because I'm gonna use them.
Right. I heavily recommend Toyotas. Man, those things run forever.
Mom has a Camry, and that thing is like bulletproof.
Yeah.
She's had it for probably 15 years.
Right. My Corolla, it's starting to fade, the color of it and everything. It looks like such a Cholo wagon. So when I go see family in Pueblo, I should just drive that because I fit in when I drive in. Everybody tries to figure out whose cousin that is when I drive down the street. We know him. You know, look at the car, but it's got low profile tires. It's so bad. My brown side doesn't come out often, Dusty, but when I bought that car, I was like, ooh, those are some sharp tires.
The car was better.
Yeah.
Until he hit the first pothole.
Yeah.
Blew the tire.
Yeah, my uncle's like, those are motorcycle tires, but like, you don't know nothing. You know, they're sharp. So there's a lot of driving out there. So absolutely.
Well, that's why I like my Escape. It's higher up for those potholes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I used to have a Taurus and it hit every single thing.
Oh,
the miles were good. I got like 28 miles a gallon.
Right.
But the undercarriage got destroyed.
Right. Right. Raised in that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ray, Colorado.
Yeah.
I think that's such a cool little town. I could actually live in Ray, you know. I used to service all those cities out there when I was working at Pepsi. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a drive out there, but they're great people out there.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a flatlander. I love the plains, but if you want a little bit of hills, Ray has some of those.
Yes, they do.
So if you're looking for that, but you don't want the mountains.
Right. They're in the like a bowl almost in Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And those cliffs, I always tell my buddy Brett, I'm like, if the high school kids aren't partying on that, I don't know what's happening right now. That's, you know, that's where we would be when I was in high school. So, anyway, Dusty, you ready to tell some stories?
I am.
Let's do it, sister. Adam, you want to read them off?
Okay. We've got Travel to See Belgian Blue Cattle, My Private Family, and Lost in D.C.
Very nice. I like good titles. Adam, what me or you, buddy?
Don't matter.
Why don't you go pick one up?
Well, I'll go with Travel to See Belgian Blue Cattle.
See, that's...
Because I grew up in southeast Colorado, so...
Right.
Do you know what Belgian Blue Cattle are?
I do. Okay. I've heard of them before, so... I don't know if I've ever seen one, but I've heard of them.
I work for DFA. I'm in a dairy every day, and I have no clue what that is.
Perfect.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Yeah, so part of the Colorado Ag Leadership Program, I really got to look at agricultural on all levels, traveling around the state, traveling around federally, going to D.C., and then one of the trips was Belgium to go look at these Belgian blue cattle, and they look like they are buffed out. They went to the gym.
Yeah.
Their muscles are huge. Belgium agriculture is way different than American agriculture. We go for efficiency and product. They go for what the government allows them, and Belgian blue cattle are not efficient. They taste great. They look funny, but they have to use heifers one time because they have to do C-sections. These Belgian blues coming out will destroy the mom.
Okay.
So they have to have a whole bunch of veterans that will go and C-section these cattle out.
Wow.
Because their hips are their hips. Their shoulders are huge. They really look like, and I hate saying this fact, they're not on steroids. They're clean.
Right.
But they look like they've been injected with steroids.
Right.
Because they just look like what you'd see in a cartoon, like a bulldog.
They're muscle heads.
Cow.
Have you ever seen that video, like, or the reel of that girl leading that bull across the pasture? That thing is just huge. It's just like ripped. I'm pretty sure that's
Fernando, the nice bull.
No. But anyways, I'm pretty sure that's a Belgian blue in there because it's just huge. I'll try to find the video and send it to you.
But it was so cool to look at those. I mean, they're different. We don't do that in America. I don't know how great of animal husbandry that is because you can only use that heifer once.
Right.
Becomes a cow once it's bred, but.
Right.
They can't have any more after you've had a C-section.
Right.
But it was great to see what a socialist government, how they produce agriculture and how we do it in America and why our product is the best.
Right, right.
So we got to see that comparison.
I guess I'd be curious as to why they use that type of cow if it's so much... Is it? You said it tastes better? It's what
it tastes great. Okay. The way Belgium and the EU work is they're highly subsidized because they have so many... green climate kind of, you know, restraints on them.
Right.
So it's more of a niche of they want to do some of their product. They do get more meat out of them because they're so bulked.
I see.
But they do more imports of agricultural products than they're providing to their people.
Okay.
So.
I get you.
I'm not sure if it's a tourism thing that they get people to come look at it. It's because they can get more meat out of one.
Right.
We were so fascinated just looking at them. Even the little babies look like they've been jacked.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. All baby, baby
toddler.
Baby Gronk, whatever they call that kid, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And they're very docile. Well, the ones we saw were very docile.
Right.
But I would not want to be on the same side of the fence of one of them.
Oh, really?
They're huge.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Like, compared to, like, percentage-wise, how much bigger than an American, like a Jersey cow?
Oh, Jersey?
Or Holstein. I mean,
like way, way bigger.
I'd say, yeah.
40% bigger.
And I'm not even sure. Yeah, maybe 40, probably. 60%. Maybe it's just the fact that they look so ripped that you're just.
Yeah. They're like the pit bull of cows.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
But taller. Yeah. I mean, pit bulls don't tend to be tall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they got that stout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tear your ass out. That's pretty cool. That's very cool. I had never heard that in my life. Huh. What else do you do in Belgium?
Yeah. So, aside from that, I mean, we looked at apple orchards. We looked at farming on top of roofs because they are such a populated area that we saw how they do farming. Community gardens, again, not efficient. It's nice to say they have local, but they really are importing a lot more product than they're producing.
Right.
Their exports are, you know, chocolate, beer, and diamonds.
Right.
So, of course, we had to go look at the chocolate, beer.
And diamonds.
Didn't buy a diamond. They're expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we tried two of the three.
Right.
I didn't get to see the shiny things.
Right, right. I know Fat Tire, New Belgium Brewery. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when we worked for Budweiser, I knew a salesman out there. And I guess when you get like a 5-year, 6-year anniversary, whatever, they send you over there to the main, the original factory.
Really?
Yeah, to go tour that. It's pretty cool, man. So.
Well, and they have infrastructure where they used to have, you know, beer pipelines underneath through the city.
Really?
And so it's just, and then everything is cobblestone, but somehow their cobblestone lives up better than the roads we have here.
Right.
Well, even though it's a lot of, yeah. So getting to see all that, we did the tourism aspect. We got to see some of that.
Right.
But originally looking at ag at a different perspective on why do we do what we do here in America?
Right.
How does our product compare compared to over there, and why it's better to have less government regulation and allowing the farmers and ranchers to do what they do best?
Right.
As opposed to you are over-regulating them over there, so now they have niche markets like Belgian Blues. Mm-hmm. But that's not really feeding the people.
I got to ask you, I guess I totally skipped this part of it. You're a farm girl. You grew up on a farm, yes?
A hobby farm, yeah. So okay. we had chickens, goats. We tried the whole pig thing.
Right.
Pigs aren't meant to survive. Once they get little maggots and flies in their nose, they drop fast.
Really?
We had a horse or two, but really more as a rent-a-hand on other people's operations.
Right.
So, I mean, I've done all that of AIing, driving Columbine, fixing fence, breeding my goats, and working on that genetic aspect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what farmers do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just can't claim a brand of my own.
Yeah. I mean, that's still you. That's how you got started, though.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why you're still into it?
I love it. And I'm jealous of those who still do it in operation and practice.
Right.
They'll probably, depending on the day, cuss me out saying, no, you shouldn't be jealous because they're gamblers. They don't know what's going to happen on the market each and every day.
Right.
And they're underappreciated.
Right.
So I want to go be their voice, and they're so ready for a really bad pun, but our farmers and ranchers are outstanding in their fields.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I worked at the dryer plant at DFA, and I'd had an oopsie-daisy when I first started, and I'd spilled some milk out of a tanker, right, quite a bit of milk. And I'm sitting there getting the head of the plant is talking to me. He's like, here at DFA, we do cry over spilled milk, Larry. And it was everything not to laugh at that. I was like, I know I'm in trouble, but that was fantastic, dude. High five, dude. High five. Back to the ACLA. Back to the ACLA, you know. But that's it's kind of funny like that. I know, like, the dairy, the 100-weight changes all the time. I mean, what these farmers are making. So it's a big deal, you know.
They, it fluctuates so often.
Yeah. Cool. And it's important how we pick up the milk. I mean, how we agitate it, how we sample it, everything. You know what I mean? It's so critical to what they get paid, you know. And it's crazy, man. Like, the smallest thing can just change that whole tanker of milk by thousands of dollars. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a huge chance. So get some slacker, like, you know, this guy. So I don't know. Well, what did you think about that one, Vogue?
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. You sent me these yesterday, I believe, right?
The
stories. And I read that, and I was like, Belgian Blue Cattle. That's crazy. I should have Googled
it's not,
it.
It's not Babe the Blue Ox, just to clarify.
Well, yeah. After this, we'll look up some pictures, and I'll see if I still have some on my phone.
You know what? If she does, she'll send them, and I'll put them here on the podcast so you can check them out. Because now I'm interested in seeing the pit bull cows. So. That's cool. Belgium would be awesome to see.
Oh, it's amazing.
Really? You ever going to go back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go there, but I want to go so many places that it's a catch-22. Do I go somewhere I've been, or do I go look at something else?
Something else, I would say. That's what I would go for. Where else would you? What's the next stop that where you've never been?
Outside of the U.S., because I want to go to all 50 states, Germany.
Germany would be cool.
Not quite different than Belgium, but I want to go there anyways.
Right, right. For me, it's Sweden. I'd like to go.
That would be fun.
Because I'm part Swedish, so that's where the Lundstrom comes from. It'd be
Yeah.
It'd be neat. You know, it'd be you, Adam?
Probably Australia or New Zealand.
Ooh, yeah.
You have fun with the giant spiders and the killer kangaroos.
Amen, sister. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, everything in Australia wants to kill you, I know. But
dude, you see pictures online now all the time. Like you said, this spider's in the corner, and it looks like a pit bull spider. It's the biggest
it's as big
thing.
As my dog.
Yeah, it is as big as your dog. And they're like, oh, look at that again. They don't care. They get the broom. Yeah. I'm like, get the broom.
Oh, it's just in their fruit baskets. That's how you get them.
Yeah.
Just make sure you move the spider out, or you're paying for that extra pound or two.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that nuts? But Australia would be cool, except for that shit. I'm not. But then again, I'd like to go see Egypt as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think the pyramids would be awesome to see, but it's dangerous as hell to go there.
All the conflict right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's not safe, but my Egyptian's not
you go over there. I'm going to go mess with spiders. We'll see if it comes out better.
I'll come out of this basement. You go into a pyramid basement. I don't know what's happening.
That's right. You know, Dusty, way, way back in the day, we used to have another podcast called The Juggernaut Brothers. It was the original one. It wasn't video or any of that. And for some reason, we had a lot of downloads out of Egypt. I can't figure that one out. Remember that?
We were crushing the Egypt market.
Yeah, we'd have downloads out of Egypt like crazy. And I'm like, it's got to be expats. It's got to be expatriates over there or something. So we always be like, yeah, we're huge in Egypt. We have no clue why. There's nothing on this podcast that Egyptians would even be remotely into, I guarantee. But
look, we have 4 downloads in Morgan County and 45 in Cairo? Yeah. What the hell?
You might have to do a one-time appearance and go do it over there.
Yeah.
Kind of like the comeback tour.
Yeah, the comeback. Yeah, he's exactly right. The Juggernaut Brothers. I'm like, oh my God, it's our fan. It's our fan. Look at this guy. Woo!
Tell everybody.
What's up, buddy? High five.
Yeah. Homemade t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah. You made fun of us, my friend. That would kill you. It's like, oh shit, that's why. So, yeah. It's fun to see all the places this stuff bounces off of. Like on the analytics where people download from all over the place. I'm like, who the hell lives there? You know, and like northern Canada. I'm like, oh my God. Well, I guess what else are you doing in the winter?
Well, yeah.
You're not going outside. So listen to the Bullhucker. Thank you. All right. I like that story. That was it was cool. I'd love to learn on this podcast.
I bet you learned so much from so many people.
I'm not even joking. Dusty, I have learned. How much have you learned on this podcast?
I've learned that my life's not as messed up as I thought it was. Some of the stories.
There's been times I'm like, wow, you went ahead and told that story. That's ballsy on you, my friend. But there's
and
been,
it's recorded.
Yeah. It's on the internet now. But I've had people come in and tell me cool things I never knew. Even stupid stuff like I didn't know how they measured horses.
By hands?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was 14 hands high. I go, what the hell did you just say? Why do they do that? I don't know. It's been done forever. I was like, well, okay. But cool stuff. I mean, it's been very informative. So, and I hope you've learned out there as well. So, all right. That was a great story. We got 2 left. We have My Private Family and Lost in D.C. There's always one I want to hear more than the other one. So let's listen to the other one instead. Let's listen to My Private Family.
Oh, so you want to hear I Got Lost.
Yes, I do.
Fair. Well, okay, so no surprise. I'm very much, I believe in private sector over, you know, public sector. Private sector should be the family matters, you know, how parents raise their kids and, you know, how children can be children before they get stuck in this crazy world.
Right.
So very much believing, you know, I've wanted to be in politics. I've been working in politics. I want to keep my family private, especially if they're children, just make the way they're not, you know, exposed to everything crazy.
Right.
And my biggest pet peeve is when people attack children.
Yes.
You know, like I'm the one running for office or I was the aide. I'm doing this. Not that my kid is a nobody, but they really shouldn't be up to the spotlight.
Right.
So I was talking with my little man, and he was upset that I'm on the road so much. He was really missing me. He wanted to be more involved. He's 8. He can make the decision now.
Right.
So he wanted to help me put up signs.
Right.
And I didn't realize how much that would spark when they saw, you know, a little guy with me putting up some of my yard signs. Right. Well, 4x8 signs, so they're not yard signs.
Yeah.
And then he had a fit. He wanted to be in a picture. So private life became a little public, just a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Still very much private, but, you know, I like to say I have a really cute little campaign team.
Yeah.
The little guy and my dog. Yeah, yeah. And then the other one's a suit. I don't want to say they're not attractive or not cute, but really those two are the stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For any of my campaign staff helping, you guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Not saying you're not.
Yeah. I told you she liked the boy more. I knew she liked the boy more. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why he gets the extra nuggets at Wendy's.
Yeah, that's right. As does the dog. This is bullshit, you know?
Oh, she gets the fries, yeah.
Okay, okay.
So really the, you know, it's a, and I'm very transparent on everything. I just, sometimes my family is private.
Yes.
I'll be, you know, public on anything my behalf. So my private life is somewhat public now, but still very much private.
Right.
But he wanted to be in pictures. And when one little guy wants to be in a picture and starts having tantrums.
Yeah.
It's easier to go with the picture.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're going to, if they want to find out if you have kids, they're going to find out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, and there's no secrets anymore in this world. None. No. You know? And I appreciate
it. And I'm not ashamed of that at all. I just want to make sure you keep, he still believes in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He still believes in, you know, innocent. He is innocent.
Yeah.
And people just get very nasty on politics. Now this is a state race. Mm-hmm. It's not, hopefully it doesn't get into that way, but people bring up things.
You're going to do something to upset somebody eventually. When you win, you're going to piss somebody off. I promise. Someone's going to be upset over something that you will explain to them over and over. And it is what it is. You know what I mean? And people are pretty ballsy online. You know what I mean? They're a pretty tough guy, but I appreciate this story. Being a city councilman, I won't get too in the weeds about it. There was a conflict we were all arguing about. And one of the people, my mom worked at Equitable Savings for 42 years, you know, so she knows everybody. People think I know everybody. My mom knows everybody.
Bankers and loans, yeah.
So one of the guys was trying to get a hold of me, but not really trying that hard, went to her house in the morning. I mean, she answers the door in her, like, robe, and, you know what I mean? She didn't put her dentures in yet, and he's sitting there just pitching her on this thing, and she's like, I don't know what you're doing.
It's something you did that she's upset about going to her.
Yeah, well, he wanted her to try and convince me of something.
Okay.
So then I had to call and be like, that's the wrong Lundstrom. You don't ever go to her house. You know what I mean? She's not, you don't ever do that. You come to me. You know, I'm easy enough to find. Yeah. The city of Brush has all my records. They have all my information. If you go on the website, you can find any city councilman in any town. Well, I shouldn't say. In Brush, you can.
Yeah.
But I'm sure most towns are like that. You know, you get, it's public record.
Well, and I put my home address and everything public because you, if you want to find it, you're going to find it.
Yes, you did. I have your card. Yeah. So,
yep.
Funny story. I was trying to get a hold of her to the podcast. She came to the city council meeting, gave us your card. I looked all over. I could not find that damn card. And I'm like, what did I do? I put it in my wallet, which I looked everywhere but my wallet. And one day I'm reaching in front. I'm like, oh, there you are, Dusty.
For the record, I am trying to get out to the people.
Yeah.
You couldn't reach me because of your own thing. My own thing. It wasn't because I didn't make it public. Yeah.
No, but I didn't want to call anybody from the city council. You got that card? And like, God,
check
Larry,
your wallet.
Oh, my God. Have you lost something again? So, but no, I appreciate that story. That's cool that 8 years old, he still gets it, I'm sure, a little bit, right? He kind of understands. So,
well, he wants to be a governor now.
Does he?
He's going to run for governor is what he says. He
can't do much worse.
I think he'd be great at 8. Yeah, he might. He's not old enough yet. But.
Yeah, he might. And that's Clue Blues in Santa Claus. I'm 48. I still get socks and underwear every year. So guess what? Santa's real in my book, you know, because he keeps coming through every year, right?
Right.
I haven't bought socks, and I don't know how many. I don't know if I've ever bought socks. It's
socks, blankets, and candles.
Yeah, man, come on, Santa.
You never buy those things.
God bless you, dude. God bless you, Santa Claus. So, what do you think about that one, Volk?
I can understand where you're coming from on that, wanting to keep private.
Right. So, yeah. And it's tough, especially because all the. There's so much crap out there now. No, I don't mean to poke at both of you. You both have kids, but I would be scared to death to have children nowadays. I would be a hovering father. I promise you that. You know, I'd be that guy. You know, even when my kids, my friends' kids are around, I'm always like kind of just like always around them. Like they're fine. They're very very, they're very sturdy. They'll fall down. They don't. I'm like,
no. I've done enough sports that soccer's my niche, and I've coached a lot of soccer.
Right.
You hit one of these accidentally. You hit one of these like 5-6-year-olds and they get knocked down. Right. They're back up like a little walking zombie.
Yeah.
They're just laughing like, do it again.
Because their bones are still kind of soft. I mean, they kind of bend better than we do. You know what I mean? Like.
So a fun fact I learned, under 2, you don't have kneecaps.
What's that?
Babies up until they're 2 years old are kneeless. They don't have kneecaps. No kneecaps. Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah, I know. Next time I see a baby, I'll be all, freak.
Weirdo. I have something you don't.
Yeah, that's weird. Oh, no. Hey, no I really caps. Don't. Yeah. Mine are horrible. When they grow, they're a pain in the ass. Trust me, you're better off without them. So, yeah. You were a big soccer player in high school, you were saying.
I was. Yeah, and then I ended up playing in Regis University as well. I was a walk-on.
Really?
So.
And you made it?
I did for half a season until my knee started giving out, and I have a total knee replacement now. So when I look at a kid, I can be like, you have one.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I have one, you have none.
You're right. That's tough. How old were you in that knee replacement?
2-3 years ago. Oh, so 26.
Really? Is that pretty tough to get around on?
Actually, that's where I went to Belgium 6 to 7 weeks after the total knee replacement.
Really?
Against my doctor's... He said, you're going to do it. Go for it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
My uncle's got his meniscus reattached.
Ooh.
Right. And after he gets it done, and he's 70 years old, so it's tough. So I'm over there every day trying to help him. And he's a pretty independent dude. You know what I mean? So he doesn't like the help. He'll take it, but he doesn't like it. And yeah. Then the doctor says, we should just give you a full knee replacement. It would have been easier. I'm like, well, what was that attitude like before we did this, you know? Because he's been suffering. So I hear the knee replacement's like way better than getting like that surgery done. So
And I don't have meniscus in that knee anymore. I don't have to worry about it. Oh, it's really? All titanium.
Nice. She's part robot.
She's part. That's yeah. Right. That's right. That's our new District 63 cyborg.
And I have metal mesh in my ankle. It's fine.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Set off every alarm.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you have to carry a card or something, or do you just
I now wear a dress when I go through any security. Because if they want to see a knee with a scar and question me on that, yeah, they could go for it.
That's smart.
And then they don't have an excuse to pat down because that's what they want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, be a guy. The dress isn't, unless you're Scottish, I guess, and wear the kilt. So, yeah, no, that's a great, I like that. That's what they all have to worry about. I mean, even like politicians in our Congress and our Senate, the way they go after their children.
That's it's what it's.
Disgusting.
You know, and it's like, you know, for a president, the first lady, I get it. That's kind of a title with it. But the kids should really be off limits.
Amen. You know, and if their kids are messed up, I mean, they grew up in that's tough. Yeah. You don't get to be a kid, you know?
No.
You don't get to be a child. It's, right. You know, like little, like, anyway, that's tough. So, and people are just brutal. They don't care, you know? Yeah. So that's tough. And someday when you're president, well, at least wait 10 years, right? So he's 18, he's off to college, you don't have to worry about it, you know, he's having fun, and he can go under some other name, you know, so just so he's not harassed. You
I
know
was
what
adopted.
I mean? Yeah. She stole me, so. All right, two stories down, and what I forget?
The ad.
That's right, we have a sponsor. I always do it between the stories, but this is our sponsor this week is the Magic Bean Coffee Shop. Have you been?
I have.
Yeah, very cool. Megan Orcutt. So here's a small video. Check it out.
Hello, my name's Megan Orcutt. I'm the owner and operator at the Magic Bean Coffee House. We're located at the block on East 8th Avenue. We're open from Wednesday to Sunday, and we are open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. We carry a variety of fresh, daily made pastries and donuts from Little Town Donuts and Sugar Beet Treats, made in the kitchen behind the coffee house for you. We offer all of your lattes, macchiatos, and mochas, as well as a fun monthly special. You can find us on all of our social media or at our website, themagicbean.com.
All right, that was Megan Orcutt. Please make sure you check those guys out. It's actually a family-owned coffee shop. It's not a corporate gig. You know, it's a great place to go. And they have a lot of cool little knickknacks and stuff in there. She does her own magical stuff in there. So it's definitely go check it out down at the block. So have you been in there, Adam?
I have.
Nice.
I got a cherry almond iced latte.
Yes.
Oh, she puts like little red sugar glitter stuff at the top.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty all right. I grabbed the donut while I was there, of course.
Well, the donuts are amazing because they're made there from Little Town Donuts.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I haven't had it. I will have to have a donut next time I do a community roundtable there.
They're good.
Dusty, go early. They go quick. They go fast. We were slow at work one day, and Jerry Cage is like, I'm going to go down to Matt's wife's shop and get some donuts. I'm like, it's 8:30. They're out. I guarantee it.
Oh, good thing my community roundtables are at 7.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
they'll be fresh.
Go at 5:30 because they go quick.
So. 5:30, and wow.
They is it Little Town Donut or Little City Donut?
It's town.
They cook them there. They bake them there.
Okay.
So yeah, they're awesome. So, and she's great. I call her and I just on the phone like, make me something. I'm gonna swing by and get it. That's my little drive through, I suppose. So she's like, fine. Pain in the ass, Larry.
Does she deliver it out to you as well?
No. I go ahead. No, I get told to eat shit on that one. I guarantee it. She was like, I'm sorry. There's no slaves here. So, all right. We had two down. We have one to go. Lost in D.C.
Yep. It was a fun blonde. We'll start the story with that. And I'm stubborn.
Okay.
So, when I was interning in D.C., I was a part of a scholarship program to also get college credits at the same time. And the professor paired us up with partners. The guy that I got, Danny, very nonchalant, just wanted to get through the day, didn't really care about grades. So, I said, all right, I'm taking charge of the program. We get extra credit if we don't use any maps and we don't use any GPS and we have to ask locals. So I made him hand me his phone. I turned my phone off and put it in my purse.
Yes.
We start walking through D.C. and hitting off the monuments, going to the zoo. Should have probably called it out eventually. We ended up in, you know, like a whole bunch of trees on a highway. Right. We start seeing signs, don't trespass. all right, let's keep going, because you keep going straight. You don't turn back.
Right, right.
Whoever turns back on an adventure.
No, no.
So, you know, we should have learned when we started climbing survivors. Fences.
They're called survivors.
Well, yeah, survivors. Remember, I came down when I said it was creepy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true, that's true.
I wouldn't live in a scary movie. So we keep going, and we ended up having to get through a highway and a bridge. And I ended up ripping off one of my jean pants. So I'm now in a half short, half jeans. He's still going at it, getting eaten by mosquitoes. At one point, I swear I saw like a little red dot hitting his arm, learning that we're in embassy territory. Oh. They have all free jurisdiction that they want to hit a little Americans because we're trespassing.
Right.
And by the time we're like, we should probably pull up our phone, we had no service. We're in the middle of nowhere.
What embassy were you at? By?
We weren't going close enough to read. We were trying to get off before we got shot.
Okay.
If we went to the building, that's probably when they would have had more issues.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I got you.
He had a little pacer thing on his watch. So at the end of the day, we ended up walking 14 miles.
Wow.
I ended up losing both my pant legs, so I'm in shorts now. He thought he was going to pull off his sleeves and like go jungle man style.
Right, right.
We come into, because we're sharing like an apartment complex with all the students. And the professor's just sitting there with tea like, we wondered if you ditched. I'm like, you didn't want to look for us? Yeah. Meh. We have a 24-hour policy. You're all adults. You're in college.
Wow.
I was like, well, we didn't use our GPS. They're like, yeah, no, we figured that. You didn't reach out for help.
Yeah.
Do we get the extra credit? Well, no, because you didn't hit the time limit of being back by 5 for dinner.
Oh.
We're like back at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like, but we lived in, like, we looked at everything in D.C. that people don't look at.
Right.
They're like, you probably went off the border to Virginia or something. We don't know where you guys went.
Right.
So, yeah, we went to embassy territories. We went lost.
So I'm kind of shocked that embassies aren't, there's not like a big fence around them.
That's where I lost my first pant leg, is when we climbed over a small fence.
Oh, huge. Okay.
So, just a little hint. You come to a fence, I mean, stop. Go another way.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the ways were highways. We couldn't walk there anymore.
Gotcha. As Dusty starts an international incident.
Yeah, I know.
I know one thing. I am never going to go hiking with you.
That's right.
Leave it to the country girl to leave the city and find the middle of nowhere.
That's right. That's scary. And D.C.'s got some pretty rough parts too, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I've lived in those areas. Anacostia. I don't recommend living in that area.
What is it?
Anacostia.
I've never been to D.C.
Well, the general area of D.C. is pretty safe because it's the capital. You have police everywhere. You have monuments.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're on the metro and you start to see sparks, or you see that they have less state cops on the metro, is when you start to get into actual D.C.
Okay. That's where we don't want to be.
I survived as a blonde girl in cowboy boots, and I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Okay. I've been looking at maps of D.C. because there's a podcast convention that I've been kicking around going to. It was in Colorado last year. This year it's only in L.A. and D.C.
You should go to D.C.
I thought about it.
Hot dog from the vendors.
Okay, is that? Are you setting me up? Is
this no. They're actually really good. It's like New York hot dogs. You just have to try it once.
That wasn't pork.
Like, oh, come on.
I've never asked what they were made of. They're just good.
You ever notice there's no stray cats around here? That's it's weird, right? It's weird. Not here in D.C. We don't have it here. So it's at the Gaylord at D.C.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's something else I learned on the podcast. We don't have the only Gaylord. I thought that
there's a few of them.
It's a franchise. Did you know that?
Yeah, we're not special.
Yeah, I thought we were. It turns out we're not. Have you ever been to the Gaylord?
Colorado's, not in D.C.
Yeah, Colorado's. It's
My tip for D.C., though, having been there for the internship, and I moved back when I was a staffer to work there.
Yeah.
If you hold your head high and you act like you're someone important and you know where you're going, no one ever stops you.
Really?
I've gotten into more places that way. I didn't get shot on an embassy tour. I was self-guided.
Yeah.
Just keep walking.
How many embassies are there, do you think? Just tons, I'm sure.
I've been to, by invite, or actually going legally and not trespassing, I think to over 30.
Wow.
There has to be maybe 60-some.
Wow.
And that might be lowballing. I don't know. Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy, because that's international land, right?
So it's D.C. is not one of the 50 states.
Right.
And then you have embassies that aren't recognized as U.S. soils. That's whatever embassy owns that.
Right.
And then we have U.S. soil on our embassies over in those countries. So.
Right. I only know that because I'm an idiot who watches movies. That's the only reason I know that.
Well, that's why I was like, if something happens to us, they have full jurisdiction.
Yeah, to smoke you. Hey, my partner died. That should be some extra credit, okay? I mean, I had to watch it.
Do I get his points?
Yeah.
They're waterboarding him right now as we speak, trying to get information out of him. He has no clue what they're talking about. He knows nothing about Venezuela. He doesn't know. They're freaking him out. So
I just knew I could run faster than him.
That's That's scary. Lance Schwint was telling me a story because every year they take a bus somewhere, senior citizens basically. Mm-hmm. And the one year they went to D.C., I guess the Smithsonian's massive, right? I've never been there.
But well, there's multiple of them too, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to go. That's one of the places I will go.
And they're free.
Are they really?
You can visit all of them for free.
Well, I'm going to go on these days.
It takes a day for one of them, though, if you really want to see it.
Oh, I do really want to see it. I'd love that kind of stuff. So the Smithsonian is definitely on my bucket list. But Lance was telling me that one old man had to go use the restroom, and then he got lost. They couldn't find him.
It's easy to get lost in D.C.
Yeah, yeah. He found some back door, I guess he went out. I think it was the front door, and they found him like 4 miles away at a 7-Eleven. But they were like, he's dead.
Well, there's no public bathrooms in D.C. You have to pay to use them.
Really?
Like, you will, unless you want to use some weird porta-potty, and half the time some homeless people are living there and you don't want to use them anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no bathrooms on the metro unless you really look pathetic and the officer at that metro grants you authority to use theirs.
Really?
Like, you have to look very sad and pathetic.
Really?
I figured out that level.
Gotcha. Okay, I gotcha. Pathetic, come on, man. But then again, he's like, you ain't using the bathroom.
Yeah.
They're a fat guy.
So that's probably how he ended up that far away, because he's like trying to find this free, and he's like, nope, you have to pay for something.
Right,
But you have to pay for it and get it before you can use the bathroom. It's not like in Denver of, I'm going to buy something, let me use the bathroom first and then go.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, learning stuff. Yeah, I'd like to check out the Smithsonian, though. I think it'd be super cool.
Like, there's only five of them, so you'll have to have, like, 5 days.
Really?
There's different ones, yeah. Nature and space and environment and Native Americans, and there's some others I can't remember.
Because they said 80% of their stuff is still in storage, right? Mm-hmm. That's how much stuff they have. 80% of it's in storage. How nuts is that, man?
That's crazy.
Yeah. We were in the fifth grade. I got to see. I love museums. I dig them. You know,
they're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason I love them is because Ramses came to Denver when I was in the fifth grade.
Believe it or not.
No, Ramses.
King Tut, the whole Egypt thing.
Ramses the Third, or I can't. Dude, that blew me away, man. I thought that was the coolest stuff ever, man.
We went and saw that too.
Yeah.
It was like a 4-hour bus trip from Holly, but we did go see that.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. That's all I like Egyptian stuff too. I think it's just fascinating. So, all right, we got three great stories. What do you think, Voki? You got one in mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I, actually. So do I. I think she's a little too truthful. That's good to be a politician. So.
I guess that's a good trait.
Yeah, it's a great trait. So, Dusty, when we decide who has to guess first, we rate rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
How do you rock, paper, scissors?
1, 2, 3, shoot.
Yeah. You do it the right way.
We have 3 pumpers and 4 pumpers. So I do it the boom, and then you guys do the rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yep.
So it's pretty much down the middle, man.
We're splitting.
All right. Ready? We went like 17 times in a row the other day. Who was that with?
It was with Giovanni.
Giovanni, yeah.
He was like sitting over there like,
holy cow.
Guys gonna, like,
can we just play Eeny Meeny?
He's like, look at the twins, brother. Like, you know? All right, three great stories, man. We got traveled to see Belgian blue cattle, My Private Family, and Lost in D.C. What are you thinking there, amigo?
I'm thinking that traveled to see Belgian Blues and My Private Family, those seem pretty truthful, pretty straightforward.
Right.
I'm going to go with Lost in D.C. because I'm not saying you didn't get lost, but climbing fences and losing clothing, that's like a whole other level. So, I mean, if you have the drive to keep going after that, kudos to you, but right. I'm going with Lost in D.C.
I'm going to agree with you 100% for that very reason. The other two are very informative, and I mean, it's probably going to be My Private Family.
That's what I was just going
to
say.
It's going to be something to get us both, but I'm also going to take Lost in D.C. So, before you flip that over, though, I do want to say the actual sponsor of this podcast is the Here at the Brush Emporium. So if you haven't been to the Brush Emporium, what are you waiting for? 210 Clayton Street. Here at the Brush Emporium, they have great food. And if you want an actual gift, come down and check out the Brush Emporium instead of before you go to Amazon or go online. Because upstairs in the Emporium, they have stuff that's made from local vendors. And that's super important, because when you don't support local business, it goes away. You know, pizza here is amazing. The wings here. Have you eaten here yet, Dusty?
Many times.
Yeah, the girl. What's your favorite thing, do you think?
I think I like the pickled pizza.
I have not tried that one.
I haven't tried that one. The new one, they have the chili cheese dog with fries pizza.
Oh, my God.
I saw that on Facebook one night at my buddy's house. I was like, what in the fat man's nightmare is this? So, yeah, I don't know.
Does it actually have fries?
Yeah, it's like a chili cheese dog pizza, then there's fries on it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Gilbert's some kind of mad genius. That's all there is to it. Like, how that guy is not a pothead is beyond me, because, I mean, he just thinks of the greatest stuff, man.
I'm trying to get him to do a chocolate bacon dessert pizza.
You know what? They were experimenting with that for a while.
Yes.
You ever seen the movie Accepted?
No.
Where they make their own college?
Mm-hmm.
There's a stoner kid who's the culinary kid, and that's what he does, Dusty, is he makes the craziest shit, but it's all amazing. Like, and he's always high. He's always high throughout the whole movie. So,
that's awesome.
But no, the Brush Emporium is great. Come down here, support a local business. It's for people who love this town. That's why they opened it up, to give other people a chance to sell their wares out here. As a matter of fact, here shortly, we'll have Bullhooker stuff here. So I'm excited for that. Hats. And some mugs and other stuff like that. So, yeah, these are the only two in production right now. This is limited edition. Limited edition. So I had to get him one because Casey said you'd make an out of one, right? I go, I guess. Like Little Brother is what it is, you know. You got to play with Little Brother, right? Yes, fine. But come check them out. We appreciate it. They've given us this area down here to have a podcast studio. Super grateful. They've been so generous and so supporting. So please check them out. So. And what else, buddy?
And then if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and click that subscribe button. That way, you know, when the new episodes come up, it's a small click for you, but a big click for us.
It's a small click for you, but a huge click for us, man. Bottom right-hand corner, little red dot, that's a subscribe button. Say that twice. And you know what? We appreciate the support. We are not doing well today with the speaking, man. It's, I don't know what's going on, man. It's not good. We're fumbling through this bad, Dusty.
You might see more caffeine.
Yeah, you know, you joke, but maybe so. I might have to slug this, like shotgun this bad boy. So, all right. So, we're taking Lost in D.C. Let's see that board. My private... I called it! Oh, my God.
You're
not a mom, are you?
I do not have kids, and I'm not married.
Oh, I almost knew that. I almost thought that, but I thought... Well, I didn't know that. That's weird.
No, but I figured it was the perfect time because there's a rumor going, as rumors happen on campaigns.
Yeah.
The rumor started that I was married but ashamed to wear my ring, and I had children. And then the rumor changed to I was a single mom with children. So I now purposely wear my ring on the middle finger on the opposite side because people can't just tell on the opposite side.
Right. How'd that rumor get back to you? Did somebody just straight up ask you?
They keep asking, like, where are the kids, or who's your husband, or why don't you wear a ring? And at first I thought they were joking. I'm like, oh, you're joking, because I have no life. I get 4 hours of sleep. I'm living on caffeine.
Yeah.
I'm doing more miles than I can count.
Right.
And I was like, wait, you're being serious.
Yeah. Well, the kids and husband are imaginary, for one, so I don't know what the, you know.
I want this nice ring they're talking about.
Yeah, right. And some dependents. I've been paying taxes like crazy.
I know.
My God, I could have done some.
And I could have free labor for my kids. The little kid that's in my pictures, I babysat him since he was like a week or two old.
Okay.
And the first thing he called me was his girlfriend.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. So he is my little man, but not mine. He's a kid that I babysit.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
But in his mind, you are his girlfriend, by the way.
He is, yes.
So when you find a guy, he's going to hate him.
I'm ready for it.
Absolutely hate him.
He'll be boyfriend one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The older one, I just keep around because he can drive. That's the only reason why.
He pays for your nuggets.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I score some free McDonald's for this one.
Yeah. But when I do have kids and when I am married, I definitely do believe in the private life of I'm the one doing this.
Right.
Now, future husband, if he wants to be involved, definitely he's an adult to choose it.
Right.
But the kids should be.
And I feel that way with brothers, sisters, anywhere. Like in politics, when they start going after, you know what I mean? Like the Bushes and the Clinton brothers, an idiot. You know what I mean? Or any of them. It's just like.
Well, and the question, before you do a campaign, the question you should always ask is my family ready for this? As much as you try to keep them away from it, they will be a part of it.
Right.
My mom's been vocal. My brother's been supportive. I had prayed to Jesus. I prayed with them. I asked them, are you ready for this?
Right.
If you're not, I won't do it. Because it really is a whole family affair.
Right.
Even if they're not public with it, even if they're in the background, I guarantee they're going to get pulled in somehow.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
That absolutely sucks. Well, we have some questions.
But I'm glad I got you all. But now I feel bad that you don't think I'm honest.
You're such a good liar. I don't know. Well,
I was thinking.
Well, this is principle-based.
That's true. You know what? It's not... What did you just say about the Gaylord? You're not special here because everybody beats us. You know what I mean?
Well, and I appreciate you guys thought I would be, smart enough to turn around, not get lost for 14 miles. I'm just really stubborn.
Yeah.
Once again, I will never go hiking with you.
Yeah,
fair. Yeah. I don't blame you because I also got lost in Belgium while on crutches.
Really? That's got to be tough, too.
Yeah. I'm just glad I speak a little German, and they were able to direct this little dumb American blonde on their way.
Really? I do. I don't speak any other language. I wish I did. Spanish, you want to learn because where we at? You know what I mean? It's practical, but I'd like to learn Swedish, but all I know is Taxameka Varsagu, so...
Well, see, and I think if you say it angry enough and fast enough, you can speak German.
It doesn't matter what you say in German. It sounds angry as hell. I love you in German probably sounds like a threat, you know? Well, Dusty, can we ask a few questions about you?
Yeah.
All right. Adam, you got one or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I got one here. So I was kind of wondering what cows, cops, and coffee mean to you.
Yeah, so it's a... So I like to re-message. I like to be out there and do different things than regular politics because it all sounds the same in messaging.
Sure.
So I've been saying, well, actually someone gave me the idea saying your campaign is about cows, cops, and coffee. And I said, yes, but when you say cows, I'm talking about all of agriculture. Right. The livestock, the crops, the producers, the processors, the truckers, the oil and gas, the water, the rural communities that support them. Mm-hmm. It's all of it. You just can't say that all as fast as cows, cops, and coffee.
Right.
Cops, yes, but it's all of our first responders. It's all of our law enforcement. It's our military. It's even those who support them from dispatch, administration, behavior health, mental health, those supporting those who support us, and then those who are keeping people off the streets or out of the jails. So it's everything.
Right.
Okay.
Coffee is I am buying things in the bulk of 24 in a box right now, just caffeine in general.
Right.
Because I am getting out to every community. I've been to every single community, whether it's been Hoyt, Cope, Grover, Sterling, Ray. I don't care how big the population is. I want to make sure that they feel valued and that I'm getting out there. So it's a lot of miles. So to keep going is coffee.
Right.
But then it's fun to say I'm also a country gal who is cow loving, cop supporting, constitutional believing, conservative mindset, who believes in common sense with Christian values.
Nice.
But those are all C's. Right. And I want to be all in this campaign, and I am all in. I don't have a family right now.
Right.
I don't have a job that's taking me away from this. This is my main priority. Mm-hmm. And when I'm elected, this will be my main priority to serve the people, because so often you see people coming in and they, nothing against them. They do it great. They own a business. They're coming in, and they have other obligations. Mm-hmm. But then it's hard when they get to floor. Do they take that floor vote or they go back to that other obligation?
Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm an A, all in. I'm going to be everywhere. That's not E, but if you say A is for effort, I can say A is for everywhere.
Yeah.
I went to Fort Morgan.
Yeah, we have a brush high school education, so that math checks out.
Government math.
Right. You said R as in for the rule. Does that not make you a Republican?
So it's the rebranding, the messaging. Mm-hmm. Very strong Republican, strong conservative values. But what I've seen a lot working both in D.C. and at our state is it's even Republicans in the urban areas voting against our way of life out here. Mm-hmm. We have JFK, Democrats who they vote that way because that's what they're taught. It's the social values that get them, but it's not the economic book. It's not their livelihoods. It's not their business.
Right.
Everyone out here that I've met, they want private property. They want to be, can be able to decide what happens with their families, what happens on their production.
Right.
And it really is, let's bridge that urban-rural divide. So R is for rural. I come in yelling that I'm a Republican in a very strong minority. Mm-hmm. Door shut. They don't care who I am.
Right.
I come in saying, hey, I know your people in the urban city areas want to know where their food's coming from. Yeah. They want healthy options. That soccer mom, I say soccer because that's the saying and I'm soccer, but that soccer mom really wants to provide the healthiest option at the most affordable
rate
to their kids.
Right.
Let me tell you where that comes from. Yeah. Now, while we're talking about it, let me talk about our roads, our lack of broadband, everything else that matters out here. And I'm now bridging that divide, saying R is for rural.
I very much like that, working in the dairy industry. There for a while, we had a big meeting about how not to answer questions when people come asking, because there were people from Lake Boulder coming out trying to pick fights with how the cows are treated. And I've seen nothing but them being treated well. These farmers out here, these dairymen really do well. I've never seen one lick of abuse. Not one.
I think they get treated better than themselves.
Yeah.
Your dairy cattle's limping. The veterinarian is there within an hour.
Yes.
The farmer's limping? Yeah, I might go to the doctor in a year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Half those guys, they work stupid amounts of
There's
hours.
A guy that I follow. I can't remember his name, but I follow him on Instagram. And he's a dairy farmer. And he'll he's always getting attacked with questions about, how could you do that to cattle? Why are you mistreating it? And so he takes his phone and he films his operation and answers all these questions. And I've learned so much. This guy has like auto milkers. The cows just walk up whenever they want and they get milked.
That's
they
here.
They get food. They just, yeah, out at
Riverside.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's crazy how well that, you know, these animals get taken care of because that's their livelihood. If they would mistreat an animal, they're not going to produce, then you're not going to make money. So, I mean, it's.
Have you been to Riverside?
I haven't.
Strongly recommend. They get water beds for those girls. They get scratchers. They get treats.
Yeah.
These ladies are taken care of like high five-star class.
Well, the treats are funny, though. The treats are funny. So if you show – one of these days, let me know. Well, yeah, you know the owner out there.
Yeah.
So they get a treat to go into the little stall to get milked, right? Right. That's how the cow – and they line up like school children. It's nuts, right?
Oh, and they butt each other trying to cut.
Right, right. But if a cow gets back in line, it'll read its tag and be like, yeah, no, 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 Missy, you get your ass out of here. You've already had your
turn.
You're
on a diet.
That came up on that. On that reel that he was like, this cow walked out. He's talking about how they do it at their leisure. They're not forced. They're not pressured. Yeah. You know, just whenever they want to. And they like showed this cow walking in and like the little feed bucket turned and then it turned right back around and the gate opened. And he's like, oh, see, you've already been in there 227.
Yeah.
You know, and then she walks out. The next one walks in.
Plus, you get more milk from a cow that's not stressed out.
Right.
Yeah. And you get to kind of choose. I mean, so I have friends that have kids, even though I don't. And the pressure builds up, they say. It feels better when the their kids want to eat. It's the same with the cattle.
Right. Right.
It's not comfortable if they wait. They want to go and get that relief.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
I agree. So, but yeah, we had this big, people were coming down and trying to get a gotcha moment with somebody. So they just don't answer questions, you know, because it's not it's not our place anyway, you know. Mungo just here to pick up the milk. That's all Mungo wants to do. So, you know, and Mungo wants to take a nap in the cab. That's, you know what I mean? My life is simple, Dusty. That's all I want, you know.
I want chocolate milk and cookies.
Yeah, that's all I want, man. So, and you don't drink the milk at the dairy, by the way. Never drink the milk. So, because you're used to being a city slicker, pasteurized milk. So,
unless you're used to it. I mean, I used to drink straight from the goats.
Right. A lot of the milkers out there still drink straight from the cow, but.
Yeah.
Someone like me who's never had anything
but bacteria buildup. Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna go on a liquid diet real fast. You're gonna become a human juicer. This is what you're gonna become. Yeah. We had a guy who learned that the hard way, and so he never did it again. So.
No, but definitely get out that way. If you do, I'd love to visit. I've been there a whole bunch, but really do want to educate on agriculture and explain why our folks do what they do, and they're the best stewards of the land. They do the best animal husbandry. And anytime we can spread that message really is better than chasing it with policy.
Right,
right,
right. Very cool. I like that. So what sets you apart from your opposition?
Yeah, so I'm stubborn, but I also can handle things on the fly. So having seen many members that I've worked for, you need to know how to handle questions and conflict right away. You need to know how to have those one-on-one conversations, how to be able to argue in a committee or at the well, articulate in a way that people can understand it, know when to articulate it and when not to, because if you're the person yelling at the well all the time, no one listens. Mm-hmm. And you also have to know when to have those, you know, coming to the table moments and trying to bridge across the aisle. So I've seen how to do all of that. I am okay having conflict. I'm okay with debates. Mm-hmm. I'm okay being asked about anything and everything until it comes to children. But right, I don't have those, so we're good.
Right.
Ask about my dog. but really, I've done the work so I could hit the boots running.
Right.
I've written bills. I've handled lobbyist meetings. I know at least 80% of those members personally with their cell phones up at the state capitol.
Right. You worked for Ken Buck for a while, correct?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a strong reason why I left D.C. Mm-hmm. I did work on the farm bill. I worked on WOTUS. I worked on housing, energy, trade, telecom, you name it. And he was my first opportunity to get into politics. Mm-hmm. Very grateful for it. But I very much developed my stance in life that if I can't look myself in the mirror, I can't go to sleep at night without stressing.
Right.
I'm not doing things morally. I'm done.
Okay.
So there's strong reasons why I left his office.
Okay.
I took more than a half pay cut, and I lost my insurance while going through a whole bunch of medical stuff.
Right.
Just because I value my morals and my values.
Right.
So I love the opportunity. I won't say that I haven't worked for him. Everything happens for a reason. It's gotten to me where I am.
Right.
But I'm not one that can get bought out by money. I'm not one that I will continue doing something if I'm not comfortable with it.
Right.
And so my promise on this campaign is twofold. I will always get down on my knees to pray and stand up for what I think is right. And I will be where the people are, having events and getting out and having meetings.
I got to tell you, you came to the city council meeting. You brought up the medical thing.
Yep.
You went through that.
Yep.
So that's something that's very high on your list, right?
Yep. For healthcare, yeah.
Yeah. because our healthcare system is crazy.
Oh, it's
scary.
Oh, and I very much believe in doing grunt work or living the style and understanding where the people are at.
Right.
So I had a rare disease. While benign, it was very ascetic-y, it was very aggressive. It was a tumor in my knee that was eating everything. That's why I have no meniscus. It's why I don't have a lot of my tendons, muscles. It was eating at the bone. Wow. And so after, 9 surgeries, 4 of which were back-to-back within 7 months because it just kept growing.
Right.
I was told by insurance I'm too young to have a total knee replacement. They're looking at amputation, or I could do a study chemo trial.
Right.
So I do a study chemo trial. My kidneys start to fail. My liver starts to fail. I'm getting very sick. They keep saying, we'll do it for the service so no one else has to go through it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I stay on a year and a half until my levels just can't hit.
Right.
I get off of it. The tumors come back. I was told I'm going to have an amputation because I'm too young to have a total knee replacement because it's too costly for insurance for someone who's under 30 who's going to have 3 or 4 total knee replacements in their life when they can do one operation and cut you.
That's horrible. You're done. That's absolutely horrible.
Yeah. That sucks.
So it's, the advocacy part. Obviously, I have both legs now. I've had a total knee replacement. I was getting bills from 5 years after a first operation.
That's disgusting.
I'm like, you buy a car, you buy a new tire, you know what your cost is. Medical, I'll have a little bit of sliding because if I went in and I needed a blood transfusion, something went wrong on the operation table, I need more anesthesia. Yeah, it's going to be a little more costly, but you should have a rough ballpark of where you're going to pay, and they shouldn't be haunting you 5, 6, 7 years down the road.
Right.
So I believe in, you pay for what you need.
Right.
But it should be transparent, and if they're going to treat you like a business item, they're going to bill you like a business item.
Amen, sister. I love all that.
Yeah.
I love all that because it's scary that you're one bad diagnosis away from being homeless.
You know,
it's scary.
And I believe in fiscal responsibility. Health, you can't do that.
No.
You don't know what's going to happen.
No. As a matter of fact, we used to do a show in Lamar, Colorado for the, Southern Colorado Cancer Initiative. This lady, mm-hmm. they were lawyers, correct, Adam? Her husband?
I think so. I'm not.
So he gets cancer. They fight it. He ends up losing his life, but it breaks him. It financially breaks him. So, God, I wish I could remember her name. Such a great program. So she started this fundraising thing. That we did the comedy for free. We paid the comics, and then Adam and I would just drive down there.
Whatever we made after we paid the comics, we just gave to her.
So what she would do, Dusty, if you had to go to Pueblo or Springs for chemo, she paid for your hotel. She paid for your gas. Say your electric bill is falling behind. She helps you with this. But you had to be from Lamar, you know, and have cancer.
That's still a huge population you're helping.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And you can't help it, but that's a great, it's a private sector-driven community initiative.
Right. But you
people coming together to help.
Surprised how many people started pitching in on this thing. You know what I mean? Because cancer affects all of us.
Yeah.
I have a firm belief if you live long enough, you're going to get a form of it. All of us. Yeah. So.
Or some kind of disease. And I love when our community members do that or Sterling Livestock, their meet-in days. They give a lot of the profits to some family mm-hmm. community member who's going through something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so you're not just raising money for a comedy show. You're not just raising it for a livestock or a meet-in event. You're raising it to actually go and help somebody.
Right. I think I love that.
Yeah.
All right. You got another question, Adam, or are you good?
No, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to read this one. I wrote it down. So you worked in politics almost 8 years. Does that make mm-hmm. you a bureaucrat?
Definition of bureaucrat is you have to be elected. Uh-huh. I have never been elected. I've never had the limelight, but I've done the grunt work.
Right.
I think any business owner should be able to say they were a waitress, a waiter, a janitor. They did something from the ground up. They understand all of it. Politics is the same way. You should understand the system because as soon as you're in there and you have a title, people are going to come at you.
Right.
If you come in understanding that you're a nobody, you're an aide, that if a door slams open and spills your coffee, they don't care, go get a new coffee and get it to them.
Yeah.
You're a nobody and you see that. You see what the pressures are. You know what the laws and statutes coming in are. You don't have these senior staff in these different, minority or majority offices saying it has to be done this way. You have to do it this way. You understand the process and you understand as soon as you come in and they're going to say, oh, Miss Johnson, Representative Johnson, how can we help you? You treated me like nothing 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
This is fake. I get it. I understand the lobbying game. I think it actually works better for the people that now I don't have to. I can see through the BS and I can do this work that needs to be done for the people. Mm-hmm. You should never go into anything not knowing what you're going to expect.
Amen.
So it's very much I've been kicked around. I've been yelled at. I've been that nobody.
Yeah.
I don't want to say a title makes me anybody. but I've seen what a title can do when you're talking to the media.
Right.
You're talking to groups that want to throw money at you.
Right.
And you see the people who are genuine in their approach to actually get good things done.
May I ask your opinion on lobbyists?
Yeah, so I think know your lobbyist. There's a reason we have lobbyists is because, and we pay them. Farmers and ranchers have so many sectors of lobbying.
Right.
They are so good at what they do, they can't come to the table. They pay different organization groups like DFA. Mm-hmm. Dairy farmers, they have a lobbyist.
Yeah.
And they're for that interest. Lobbyists in themselves are not a bad thing. We have people lobbyists that you go and you will testify at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Lobbyists come a bad idea when you are now chasing the money or you're chasing the endorsements and you're not chasing the values or the concept that they're representing.
Okay.
So it's a double-edged sword.
So here's why I asked that. I have this firm belief.
Yeah.
I think that 80 to 85% of people that get into Congress, get into politics, mm-hmm. have the best of intentions.
Right.
At what point does that not become the fact? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At what point does that corrupt people? Do you know what I mean? Because
oh, no, and it definitely does. And that's where I've seen, I know lobbyists that knew me as a nobody.
Yeah.
I know where their genuine intent is.
Right.
I've seen them in the community. And I've known lobbyists that treated me like utter shit because I was an aide and I was a nobody.
Right.
So now when I'm dealing with them that I know who they are, are you being paid out by an industry just because you want to get something passed?
Right.
Or are you doing this because it's in your gut and it's in your livelihood
right.
that you're doing this?
Right. And that's got to be tough.
And being able to tell the difference.
Right. And that's got to be tough. And maybe we can cut this part out if you want. But yeah. I have this belief because I think that when money becomes involved, to be able to take care of your family, mm-hmm. to make some questionable decisions, I think everybody at the table is a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that if you could make a decision, Adam, that your girls will never work again, or they'll be set, they'll be safe.
Right.
How questionable would that? You know what I'm saying? Where would your morals be? You know?
Right.
Where does that line lie? You know what I mean? I've always wondered that, and it's tough. I guarantee it's tough because you're human beings. You right. know? I can't say that I'd be any different if I knew my family would be okay. That's a horrible thing to say. I get it. You know? But I think that's where we have the disconnect sometimes.
No, yeah. and we can keep this on, actually, because I joke that I suck at economics. I was in D.C. making over $65,000. Great insurance benefits. I left to go work for a state senator at $38,000 and no insurance. And I had to use some of that money to go buy a private sector insurance option.
Right.
And I was still going Oof. Through chemo, trial, and medical.
Wow.
And I prayed to God that it would work because I'm following my values and my morals. I pick up two senators. I moved to $41,000 just because the aides had a pay raise, not because right. I had two members.
Right.
And they did offer insurance. I'm still making a lot less. I am working now 80 hours a week on a 40-hour salary because you don't get overtime at the state.
Right.
But I love the work I'm doing. And then to become on this campaign, I had to quit. I am jobless on this campaign. I'm making $0.
Right.
I'm using all my life savings right now, very much praying to God and hoping that people will contribute, invest in this campaign to help with the miles. That's all I'm asking for, the miles and some of the signage. And understanding that when I'm elected, I'm going to have $39,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a lot less than I did starting there. And I am going backwards. But somehow it's working where I am, I guess, running away from the dollar because I love what I am doing and the right. people I'm representing. You ask the question, you know, like, let's say I have a family in the future. They never have to work at their day in their life if I make this deal.
Yeah.
I have grown up with a mom who is a single mom.
Me too.
We were under poverty levels. We've had a lot of issues. I have more values for those who have made memories with people and have worked for where they're at that I would never want to hand something to my kids because they would not value it.
That's cool.
So I can honestly say I want to look in the mirror and I want to have a passion for what I'm doing. Now, I know I am one, and a lot of other people say they'll go for the deals. They'll go for the money. If I can look at God at the end of the day, if I can talk to myself and my mom says she doesn't want to take me out of this world, I'm doing good.
That's a great answer.
That is.
So you can keep that because it's very much I've been going the opposite of what people tell you in economics.
Right, right. No, I get it. I get that.
Yeah.
One thing about you I do like that you are very you are everywhere. You really are. You've made yourself very, very available. You know, I've seen a lot of you online. I've seen a lot of you talking like this online. So, and I honestly didn't know who else was running because I'd not seen anything else from anybody
right.
else.
Yeah.
I looked today to see who is running, and I do know some of them, you know. Mm-hmm. But you're the only person I've seen actually come out and make yourself available. And to me, that's a huge, huge thing.
Thank you. And I want to be where they're at. I mean, I'm doing op-eds in papers, podcasts, radio shows, right. in person, just because we have a age gap.
Right.
We have those in the younger for social. We have those in the older who wants hard paper.
Sure.
I'm doing email still, and I'm writing out letters and sending them out in the mail.
Nice.
If people say this is how they want to be communicated with, I will do everything I can as a person of one who wants to represent 88,800 people
right.
to reach as many as I can.
Well, and my point is that to be open is important. Being on city council, we talked about this earlier. I've seen people that want they run for city council, but they don't want to do the forum. They don't want to talk to the people. They don't want to answer questions because those questions can be tough. Yeah. You know, there was a sheriff's officer who was running for the seat in my ward. He didn't get it, but I hope when I'll term out, I hope he runs again. At that forum, he had the answer of, I don't know, but I will. Yeah. You know, he was very honest. You know, I don't know. I don't know that.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to know. You know what I mean? You're running for the first time.
Yeah.
But he others trying to bullshit, and he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know, but I will find out and I will learn. You know, and I thought, this is the guy.
Right.
You know, this is the guy. I like that a lot. So how do they contribute to your... to your cause? Is there like a GoFundMe? Is there?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have four main asks for folks. They can visit my website at dustyforcolorado.com to invest in me because I really want to be hired by the people.
Okay.
Again, changing the narrative. I don't want you to vote for me. I want you to hire me.
Okay.
I want you to invest in the future of HD 63. If you can't do that, because I know money is tight, I'm living dollar to dollar. Please follow me on socials. Please go and get the papers that I'm writing to. Please like, subscribe. You guys mentioned, you know, the giant red button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That helps with the algorithm so more people can see the message.
Right.
And in such a social-driven, censored world, we need that algorithm where people don't see the options.
Right.
And they don't know what they don't know. The third is let me know where I need to be. And that's how I'm out here. I've really had community support in all of these seven counties that I can't follow every Facebook page. I can't read every newspaper. I don't know of what most is happening just because there's too much going on.
Right.
Send me a text, call me, email me, let me know of an event. And I have a red light, yellow light, green, yellow, red system. Whoever's first on my calendar is priority. I will never bump them because something shinier, fancier comes along.
All right, good.
Yellow is the, if something happens with the first event, there's a storm in Weld County, but Julesburg has no weather. So the roads here are closed, but the roads there are not. It moves to the yellow. Red, I want to know about it so I can follow up and ask about it, but I can't go.
Okay.
Because I'm committed to something else.
Right.
Because I value my word, and I've seen too many people say, well, this one looks like there's more people. It's a fancier event. It's going to hit better. But they've already committed to something else.
Right.
So those are the three. And then, honestly, it's just spreading my name, having people reach out to me, give them my cell phone. It's public.
Okay.
And I really just want to hear from people. So, yes, I love the investments, the money. Mm-hmm. But I also want the knowledge. I want the information. You mentioned it with the sheriff's candidate. If you ever say you know the most in a room, the room is skewed.
Yeah.
I know enough to get the conversation going. And that's where you need to have quick-witted answers that you actually have a stable foundation on, especially at the Capitol, because you're going to get questions that you don't have time to look into.
Right.
But I also have a huge network of people that I can actually ask the experts. That when I have that time, I do want to defer to the people because I want to be their voice.
That's awesome.
So it's 3-4, depending on how you count, right. Government math. Would love the investments, but I'd love the information, and I'd love the support and the prayers.
And if you look on the description below, we'll have your links below. So you can check out on the description and click right to her website from there. So that's awesome. Dusty, I think the world, you got my vote.
Thank you.
And it's because you're so transparent, you know, and it's because you've been all over social media, and just what you said, you know, like, hey, let me know. You know, I think that's important. So transparency is the most important thing in my book.
And tough conversations have to be had.
And it sucks
you
to do
You might not like what I tell you, but I will tell you my honest opinion.
Yeah.
And if you tell me I'm wrong, I'll go look into the information. I will never, you know, I will never bend my knee at my principles.
Right.
But if I've misspoken, I will publicly say I've misspoken, and I will let people know.
That's cool. I like that a lot.
Nice. So.
Dusty, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been fun. And when you said something about the podcast, and I was like, I don't know if she knows what she's getting into going on the Bullhucker, boy.
Oh, this was fun. I like it.
This is iffy, but it's iffy. Sometimes we've had some rough patches, Dusty, where subjects come up, and it's like...
I embrace awkward.
So have we. I mean, it's...
this has been my life.
Yeah,
there was one... It's a long story. It was a recent one where a story was told, and I was like... And Adam's just like not even touching it. He's like,
well, that's bad if you guys won't touch it.
I was to reach over and check his pulse. Like, you still good, big guy? So,
and he calls me after we're done. I'm walking through Walmart. He's like, dude, I was like, what in the hell was that?
Bro? I know.
He's like, I don't know.
It was good. So, Dusty, best of luck to you. I hope you, I really do hope you win. And I said, you got my load. So,
I appreciate it. And you know, If you ever have hard questions about politics once I'm elected,
right.
would love to keep people informed. Or I can come up with more stories and see if I can't stump you again.
You know what? That or I'm going to come the next time you're speaking. I'm going to scream, babies don't have to. Tell them about the baby knees, Dusty.
Oh, yeah. You kneeless little child.
She loves weirdos. She loves weirdos. So, anyway, I'm Moose Lundstrom.
And I'm Adam Vokey.
Hey, thank you again, Dusty.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time. Peace.